Holy God, it's our delight to know that we don't have to get all fancied up and fortified morally to begin to approach you through Jesus Christ. That, Father, there's nothing in our hands that we bring. It's simply to the cross of Christ that we cling. And we fly to that fountain of Emmanuel's precious blood flowing as a covering for our sins. We are humbled, we are repentant, we are aware that everything we have has been given us from God. And we thank you and praise you this morning for being with us. And we lift up all those that we know right now upon our hearts and minds and awareness that need your touch, need to be healed by God. There are limitless blessings in you, O Father. And apart from you, we can do nothing, but yet with you, all things are possible, and nothing shall be impossible with God. Lord God, strengthen all those who are ill and sick, and undergird them. Reveal your peace and loving, warm presence. Wrap them in the divine arms of God. Let them know the eye of the Lord is upon them, that even as you watch the sparrow fall and rise, your eyes on the sparrow, you watch every one of us with a close care and an unfailing love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this. And this day, in faith, pray the prayer Christ has taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before I preach, years ago, I stood at Regent Square Elementary School, and I happened to go to the memorial right outside this elementary school building, and I can see myself standing there in my recollection, not that I was watching myself, but you know how that works. And there were a list of names there of World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War. And I was stunned because I used to play sandlot football with Richard Held and Eric Held. Eric was my age, Richard was a year older. And lo and behold, Richard's name was there. And he had died in the Vietnam War. And you know, I couldn't help but trace his name and, you know, looked at all those names. And I was just thinking here, when the roll is called up yonder, I don't know if Richard ever gave his life to Jesus Christ. Back then, neither. We kind of went and dabbled ourselves at church, Sunday school, things like that. But I don't know whether Richard did. But one hopes that when the roll is called up yonder, those we played with and knew, and the time went on, they'll be there, and we'll see them. So we know that anyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they're on that roll call. That's what we're looking at today. Pray with me. Gracious Father, we pray that the word of the Lord revealed in sacred scripture will be our rule, and we're praying that Holy Spirit, come anoint us, please. We don't want to preach, we don't want to listen, we don't want to sit, we don't want to talk, we don't want to think without your presence leading us. So anoint us, we pray. And Father, as always, you are our great God, and we are earnestly, fervently imploring that your greater glory will get hold of us, and thou'll be our supreme concern. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, here's the church, and here's the steeple. You open the doors, and there's the people. And that's what this sermon is all about today, the people of God. I ask myself, you know, maybe you ask yourself too, how does one keep one's heart and mind enthused and stirred up over roll call, over a list of names, and these are strange names at that. And the answer I get is that those names taken together and cherished together, like our names and our family taken together and cherished together, brings great glory to God. And that's our heartbeat. That's our highest joy. That's our magnum opus, our, you know, summum bonum, our highest good, the glory of God and enjoying God's glory. So when we see a list of names like this, if we can say that, number one, we want to cherish God's church as his chosen people, then I will see that, hey, that can start my heart a-beating. And two, we want to cherish God's church as his chosen people as our dearest friends right now. And that's who Roslyn Presbyterian Church is. That's who you've been about. That's what your DNA is wonderfully genetically wired by the Holy Spirit to manifest again and again. And I think we got to high-five each other on who you are and what you are. And that's just the greatest thing to me. And thirdly, we'll be more energized over this Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, this list of names, when we realize that the church is God's chosen people as our dearest friends, but not just now, but forever. There is an eternal seasoning that has so seasoned our lives together now that has the promise of eternity whispering on its baking and cooking of our lives together. So I know that the teachers of preaching have my left leg's going numb, so pardon me if I dance a little bit here. I know these teachers of preaching, you think I'm a dancing preacher, huh? These teachers of preaching, they say don't ever preach the names, because the names are a way of putting your people to sleep, like my leg's going to sleep. You know, don't do it, because you know, just stay away from them. I don't agree. And I'm sure you don't agree either, because the names are there by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be the written word of God, divine word and human words, and they're there for a reason. And the reason they're there today, as we're seeing in Romans 16, when you have this compilation of the most theologically rich, insightful previous 15 chapters in the whole of Paul the Apostle's magnificent mind, producing now this magnum opus, his finest, biggest work of defense of the gospel, of the beauty of Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to know the will of God. I mean, this is the consummation of the gospel impact and all these riches. And where does it seem, therefore, to not have a denouement or a down moment, but the culmination comes in these 16 verses that we read about. Greet Andronicus and Junius and Tryphena and Tryphosa, all these strange names. Isn't it wonderful that you see now in one dimension only, and I'm not going to push this too hard, but the consummation of the theological work has manifested itself in the truth that affects fellowship and how we should truly cherish each other as God's chosen names. You know, Barbara and Stu and Kathy and Jean and Craig and Susan. These are names, but they're people that we cherish. So that's what we're about, and those are my 3 points. One, cherish God's church as his chosen people. Then we add to it in point two, cherish God's church as his chosen people of the mixed family as your dearest friends. And then we add to it a number three, dearest friends now and forever, that we cherish them. And once we get that in order, we're going to understand that, hey, the last thing we want to do for verses 1 through 16 in chapter 16 of Romans is call it a list, because it's not a list. This is much more than a precious list. I mean, you admit, don't you, that as we cherish God's church as his chosen mixed family, we'll go ahead and admit right up front that you have Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife. You have a man and his mother, Rufus and Mama. There's a brother and sister, Nereus and Sis. There are brothers, Andronicus and Junius. You hear that? There are sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa, probably twins. You hear it in their name, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Cute little names for two twin girls. There's an older man, Epaenetus, and a whole lot more. And isn't that an interesting picture of God's church together? Not a whole lot of nuclear family there, but a whole lot of covenant family there. And isn't it true that because of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in our midst, that this covenant family is in one sense much more enduring than nuclear family, because you're stamped with eternity by the grace of the gospel of the Holy Spirit that has saved your souls, not just now, but forever and ever. So again, we look to this and we say, hey, I like the sounds of this, and I can go with this. And we have a sense of cherishing this mixed family as something very, very important, because theological truth is backing it. And the higher doctrinal content we have, the greater will be the manifested security, givenness of compassion, demonstrations of love on the relational level, because the relationality rises out of the doctrinal truth. And that's what's happened with Romans. All of this wonderful truth is now issuing forth in these good statements. And so we realize then that, hey, well, let me just jump over here a moment. An anthropologist proposed a game to some kids in an African tribe. And what he did is he put a basket full of ripe fruit under a tree in the distance, sweet fruits, wonderful fruits. And he told them that they could run, and the first one that got there first, of course, would have the sweet fruits all to himself. And he said, ready? They were ready. He said, go. And they all joined hands, and they all ran together and arrived at the fruits at the same time. And he asked them, what in the world are you doing? Why didn't you run so you could get all the fruits for yourself? And the answer they gave was Ubuntu. And they said, how can one of us be happy if all the other ones are sad? Ubuntu in their culture means I am because we are. And I love that. And I'm not trying to be super profound by saying I am because we are, when I change it to say we are because he is. But that's the fact. We are because Jesus Christ is. And he has called us to have this cherished dimension of a mixed family. I don't care that you're not 6'3 and 220 pounds like myself. It doesn't matter. I don't care that you're 3'2" and eyes are blue and coochie, 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 coo. You're in Jesus Christ, and suddenly what? We're melded. I am because we are, and we are because he is. So we cherish this mixed family with all these different generational perspectives, and we're really not someone who tries to say, no, we'll all be a younger church, or we'll all be a middle church, we'll all be an old. No, we are open in our hearts to all God's action in the Holy Spirit, because he's greatly glorified when we cherish. You saw in Romans 16 there how the chapter ends. I opened the church worship service with it today, but it's worth stopping here at the end of my first point and hear it. Now, after all these names, Timothy and Tertius and Lucius, and now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's what melded us together, right? And now he says that the mystery has been made known according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. That's the joy of our. And then finally, there it is, the culmination, the capstone, the highest apex. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. So, First, then, we cherish these names. They're not just a list, they're people, and we have the roll call, and I think it's a cool thing to call roll in the church, don't you? Have you ever gone to a church where they called roll? Might be a good idea, you know, I don't know. I remember back, you probably remember roll call in grade school. I remember roll call in second grade. I don't know what was with me. I had a crush on Connie Scrow, you know. I mean, I think back at second grade, why does a second grader have a crush on? I mean, I did. And so did Jimmy Jacesco, my best friend. It was a cause for some friction between the two of us, of course. But I remember sitting in class, and the teacher called Connie Scrow's name, and she said, present, my day was made. My day was happy. Connie is here. And that's roll call for you. But if they, you know, if the teacher called Connie Scrow and somebody said in the class, she's not here, teacher. I mean, they were completely ignorant to my love-worn plight. I would be miserable the whole day. And, you know, there's this cherishing in the roll call, you know? And Robin's here today, you know? Neil's here. Troy's here. I feel good, don't you? I feel good like I know I should because of glorification of Christ that way. Well, let's move on to the second point. Thank goodness, huh? We want to cherish God's church as his chosen mixed family. Here it is, as our dearest friends. I know you're going to love more people here, love a little more some people here than you do others. But the real truth of the matter is you look around and every one of us here, I guess I'm a holy man of God because I don't not love anybody here. And I know I'm speaking facetiously, of course, satirically, because you look around and you love everybody here. And that's marvelous. This cherished as dearest friends. It's not just the chosen church of people. Okay, here you are. One of the geniuses of our size is the reality that we know each other. And you can't get in here very long. Even with the COVID routine, I'm still recognizing you with your masks on. You know, we're still doing that. So here we go, and we say, all right. Paul is not regarding this as a list at all. I wouldn't call it a list. You're not calling a list because it's relationships. And pal, what's going on? Paul is packing up his stuff. He's in the home of Gaius in Corinth, who is host for Paul at the moment. Gaius is the host for the church in Corinth. And Paul is getting ready to go west to Italy and Spain. And he's about to move to a new parish pretty far away, right? And Paul's now about 60 years old. And it's a guess. And Paul feels, even at 60, he's got one more pastorate left in him. He started kind of late, probably age 35, and not many churches want to take a guy at 60. Thank you for letting me be in here as your stated supply at age 72 and three quarters. I appreciate that. But they couldn't help but take Paul because he started the churches. And if you start the church, they kind of got to keep you, huh? And so he wants to be in more ministry because he's gotten a late start, and he's packing up his coat, and he's packing up his books, and he's got a few other things and getting ready to go. And while he's throwing things away, trying to sort down on how, what to carry and what to take, he sits down and sees some correspondence and some memorabilia that causes him to think and again to recollect. And here's what comes out of it in Romans 16, 1 through 16. And you've probably done that yourself, you know. You probably at some time sat down and just thought and recollected and remembered. I finished my pastoral service when I was a student pastor at Savannah United Presbyterian Church in Savannah, Ohio. And I left there and I took my list with me. We had Fritz Bachman, who gave me maple syrup from his own acreage that he made it on the premises. And he called me up to watch him boil the syrup. I took the name of Wayne Crist with me. He gave me milk and eggs. The milk was, I would bring these gallon white glass jars, 25 cents a gallon to a seminary student. That was gold. Gave me eggs. Mike McWilliams, I took him with me. Mike was up to become an elder, and Mike had not yet given his life to Jesus Christ, but this is a small church, and it was a family church, and the McWilliams were all through the church, and they wanted him there. So what are you going to do? You know, I didn't know enough. I said, Mike, you can't take the vow to be an elder. I know it was messed up anyway, in a sense, don't go there. But I said, you can't do that if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ. And it comes to the point of he's getting ordained to be an elder. And I said, do you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Mike? And he said, yes, I do. With a gigantic, and boy, did I breathe easier that night, you know? And there was Fred Lang. Fred Lang drove a hearse as his family car. A big black hearse, and he had 5 kids. He must have got a good deal on it, and he had this cider mill, and there was a sign that said, sit down beside her, you know what I mean? And he took me up very proudly one day. I'll never forget this one. Here I am, a seminary student pastor, and he's so proud, he takes me up to a kind of a little niche room above his house, and he says, there, look at that. And there was a new propane toilet right there. As the bathroom toilet. And this guy, he was something else, Fred Lang, because he said, here, sit down and try it out. And I said, Fred, I don't think I can do that on command. And but he loved the Lord Jesus, you know? But he did make it work. And he either whoosh, and it's burning propane. I don't know. Anyway, you get the picture here. We don't. That's first. I should have called the sermon TMI. Aquila and Priscilla, they risked their necks for me, Paul says. I got Andronicus and Junius. We were in jail together. What incredible Christians. And there's Mary. Mary worked hard. She was there when everybody else quit. She was the one who said, now, Paul, you go on home. You got to ride a donkey across Asia tomorrow. I'll put the hymnals away. I'll put the chairs up. You get going. And I say, well, Mary, Paul says, well, Mary, you work hard too. And she said, yes, Paul, but I don't have to go into a new church planning thing tomorrow. So you go ahead and I'll pick up here. And she worked hard, as many of you do. And we see that, and it binds us together. And there was Epaphras. He was the first person convert under my preaching, Paul says. I didn't sleep at all that night. I got to thinking of Epaphras. Thank God, finally somebody gave their life to Jesus Christ. First and foremost, the gospel of salvation. They heard it. Turn from your own rule to the control of Christ, who died for your sins and rose from the dead for your justification. If you only believe in him, and Epaphras did. And I've been praising God ever since. And there was Tryphena and Tryphosa. And they always sat right there in the front pew. And they always wore blue serge. And they were twins. And one of them had a mole on their face. And I don't know whether it was Tryphena or Tryphosa, because they looked alike. And I never got the two of them straight anyway. But I loved them. And there was Rufus. Oh, tell Rufus hello. And tell his mother hello, too, because she's my mother, too. Get a load of that. Here's a woman who was mother to the Apostle Paul. Can you see her? Can't you just see her? She always wore an apron, right? And she's a bigger woman. And she kind of, you know, waddled a little bit, but she always had things stuffed in the apron pockets. And she told Paul, I cooked up a good breakfast for you, Paul. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Now, you sit right down here, and you eat your breakfast. And he says, no, I got to ride a donkey across Asia today. She said, you're not going anywhere. You just sit right down there and eat your breakfast. And so he did. And he calls her his mother. And we remember and we appreciate and we look around here. Rufus's and Epaphras's and Tryphena and Tryphosa's. And I remember when they brought that famous list to Washington, D.C., 58,186 names on the Vietnam Memorial on a 2-acre site. 3,900,000 people visited it in 2006. So last year I could find that it had numbers. But they had these pictures of the mother with the baby who is tracing the name of the soldier who had died in Vietnam. with her finger and saying to her baby, "That's your father, that's your father." And this isn't a list for Paul. It's not a list for us. It's a very powerful statement of the impact of divine truth on freeing you up to cherish each other and freeing us up to say it's okay to truly love and truly care. So point number three, we glorify God greatly when we cherish the church as God's chosen mixed people, as our dearest friends, but as our dearest friends now and for all eternity. We're going to be with each other forever and ever. And Paul is, you see, he's saying, tell these people hello. But in one sense, he's saying goodbye. Tell them goodbye because he's going to Rome. But he says, before I go to Rome, I got to go to Jerusalem. And he's going to Jerusalem with an offering, but he's going into a nest of hostility of people who wanted to end his life. And he said to these people in chapter 15 of Romans, pray with me, agonize with me, that I won't be killed in Jerusalem, that the saints will accept this money in Jerusalem, and I'll have safe passage. Please pray for me. And these are just not the names of anybody. These are deep friends in Jesus Christ. And we think of those names now, and you probably have names that God the Holy Spirit has brought to your recollection during the time of this sermon and the proclamation of the Word of God. And to share another experience of names for me, I pastored a small church of 40 members for 5 years, from 1978 to 1983, Chapel Presbyterian Church, or Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But each August, Joe Churm would host a corn roast in the evening, and we would bring our prospects, two or three, along with our members, and they'd all gather at Joe Churm's house. And these are the names, these are the people. And the kids would run around like crazy banshees, getting all sweaty and soaked in the humidity of a Western Pennsylvania August hot night. And we'd be standing around the fire pretty close just to keep away the mosquitoes that were the sizes of birds. You know, they say the state bird of Minnesota is the mosquito, and Western Pennsylvania is not far behind that. And Joe would know at the right moment, you see, and he was a classical guitarist, and he taught guitar at Geneva College, and he would know the timing, and he played hymns for us on Sunday. We didn't have a piano player or a violinist like we're privileged to have here. He was it. And he would start playing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear, What a Privilege to Carry Everything to God in Prayer. Have We Trials and Temptations, etc." And then "Amazing Grace," and we'd start singing around the campfire there in his backyard. And, you know, you'd have the sibilance of the insects in the background and the smoke kicking up, and the kids would be still running around. And then people would start sharing about their lives. One, truly, this happened. "My name is John. This is my wife, Cindy." John and Cindy, I knew them. "You ever need fresh vegetables? We got a big garden. I got so many vegetables from them. My name is Jack, and this is my wife, Sandy. She can babysit your kids, and I can fix your car because I'm a really good mechanic. My name is Jane, and this is my husband, John, and he can fix your furnace. And I know well, because one time at 5 a.m., the furnace went out. We knew the furnace went out because I was over the church early praying, and I had to call him, and I had to fix the church furnace with him." But you know, this list of people, and we would sing and we would praise the Lord. And then they gathered up their sweat-soaked kids till it was just Joe Churm and I out by the fire there standing around. And the night would pass and it would get late. And Joe would, with his big foot, kick some dirt on the fire to start putting it out. And it's real quiet now. And he turns to me and he says, "Jeff, people don't get any closer than this, do they?" And you know, there was a name for that back then. And there's a name for that right here. There's a name for that all over. And it's called church. It's called church. And it's the list of names of the people of God together, committed. And you know, you're going to carry, I mean, today if you want, take a moment. In Philippians 1:3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I thank my God and all. Write that down. And this afternoon, if you want to get a moment and make your list. And by the way, when you, if you do make that list, take it to heaven with you when you go. You know, if you ever move, take that list. Leave your car, leave your computer, but take that list, because that's the significant God-glorifying thing about our lives. This togetherness, this ministry, this mission, this commitment of family, brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you what, you take that list and St. Peter will be there at the gate meeting you, and he'll say, what's that you got in your hand? And you say, I just got something, I want to bring it with me. And he says, you can't bring anything here, in here. There's only one way to get in here. And if you know anything at all, you're going to say, I know that. There's one way on the coattails of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, in whom I've committed my life and asked him to be my Savior and Lord. That's the only way I'm getting in there, St. Peter. And St. Peter says, you got that right. So what's that what you got in your hand? And you say, it's just a list. Well, let me see it. Oh, no, it's just a list of people that I've known and loved. Well, come on, I want to look at it. No, it's just a list of people without whom I couldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it without them. Come on, let me see it. Finally, he hands it over, and he looks at it, and he sees it, and reads it, and a big smile breaks out on St. Peter's face. And he says, I know every one of these people. In fact, as I was coming here to unlock the gate for you, I passed them. And they were painting a big red sign and hanging it across the street. And it said, welcome home. Welcome home. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But we're not there yet. So we glorify God by cherishing the church. And you know what we say together? Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That's the roll call. And that's the preciousness of the Word of God, that takes the truth of God and glorifies him with it and gives us his holy word. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we come to the table of the Lord, we pray your blessings. And as we take this bread individually, God, on our own to show that we belong to you, we confess that you are our Father and Christ is our Savior and the Holy Spirit is our inhabitor of our hearts and souls and minds and bodies. And we know that this table, Lord, is not open to anybody, only to Christians. So we thank you and ask that Jesus Christ, we know he does, would dwell richly in our hearts and bless these elements from a common to a sacred purpose, that they will show forth to us grace magnified and amplified through Jesus Christ, and seal us as your own, God, and confirm to us that we are family, cherishing each other by your grace in Christ our Lord. Amen.